Hi, everyone. Welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
Fresh from New York, Dory.
Hello.
She's really having a time right now with her computer. Her computer's not agreeing with her.
It's just doing weird things.
I can't make heads or tails of it. I do think it was the trackpad and the way that she had the computer positioned, but
it might have been the trackpad.
Because has it fixed itself yet?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
It's fine.
Matt still got it. My Apple Genius certification expired in 2008.
Wait, 2008?
Yes.
But you were still working as a genius. Shh. What? Oh my gosh.
Oh boy. Well,
this is a scandal.
Bombshell.
I'm calling Apple.
And
they're going to fire you.
I had my email was pretty, my email was myra@apple.com.
Oh, that's pretty
good. I mean,
cool.
That was pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only way you could like do better would be like Matt.
Yeah.
Which I was wonder... like, there was an engineer who had that.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
So, anyway, enough about us. In case anyone's wondering, I used to work at Apple a long time ago.
I think a lot of people know that, but maybe not everyone.
I feel like a lot of people maybe found us through Forever 35, and it's not part of the canon, you know? So, there you go.
I hear you.
Little background deet, if anyone was wondering.
Yeah.
I hear the hiss of the monitor. Okay. I'm just checking. Henry's monitor is on pretty high blast because I keep that thing cranked when I'm home with him.
You keep the noise machine cranked?
No, the audio.
Oh, the audio.
Of the monitor.
Cranked. Sure.
So that I can, you know, if, because I'm not always looking at it.
Right.
But if there's a distressful moment.
Yes.
And also I sleep with my headphones on.
Right.
So sometimes the natural Henry waking up is not going to do it for me. Although I will say, like, you know, he got up, let's see, I got him at 7:05 this morning.
Uh-huh.
Got him at probably 6:50 or 6:45 in the morning on the day before.
Okay.
Day before that, I think it was a 6:30 situation.
Okay.
I slowly creeped him up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I think it's fine to leave him in the crib for...
Yeah, but I was bored. I was alone.
Oh, I see.
What else was I going to do?
Sure.
I need someone to throw golf balls around with.
Tonight, when he asked me to talk about his day, but, you know, I wasn't home for the vast majority of his day.
He wasn't home for any of his day. He literally asked you to talk about his day a minute and a half after he saw you for the first time in 4 days.
And then I said something, and he was like, no. Dida, golf ball. And I was like, oh, you went outside and threw golf balls. And then he said, golf ball, pool.
Oh, yeah. We have been doing
quite
a bit of that.
Throw golf ball in pool.
So Henry likes to put the golf ball down on the golf mat that I have. I have this little turf mat. And if I turned one way, I'm facing the giant net. And if I'm turned the other way, I'm facing the pool. Which has a pretty high fence. So sometimes Henry asks me to put the golf ball in the pool, which I then have to ask him to get my 60-degree wedge.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just stand there and chip shot things, chip shot golf balls into the pool, over the fence, into the pool. It's like I'm landing it on the green, you know, over a bunker. It's actually handy practice.
Yeah, interesting.
So, golf ball pool. And then when we went in the pool yesterday, Dida Gump, which is me jumping, I jumped into the pool. But then on the way down, I got golf balls and brought them back up. Which he was like, whoa. Dida Gump, get golf balls. So that was the day. So that was the afternoon. Anyway, how was your time without Henry?
You know, I missed Henry.
Of course.
I missed Dida.
Yeah.
But I had a really nice time. Mm-hmm. The weather was, other than the hurricane that I flew into.
You did fly into a hurricane.
the weather was amazing. Like perfect New York weather.
I don't know about that.
What do you mean?
Perfect New York weather to me is, I think, different than perfect New York weather to you.
Yes. You would prefer like cold and snowy.
I would prefer, no. I would like overcast with a sharp chill.
Yeah, no, that
like, it wasn't. Like the kind of thing where like if you get the right gust of wind, it'll go through you.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like that.
Oh. Well, that's not my ideal.
And, you know, I saw a couple friends. That was really nice.
I was really happy for you to be able to go do that. I mean, I was more trepidatious about, will I be able to handle Henry on my own?
And guess what? You did.
Yeah, for the most part. We had some help. We had Holly today. That was handy. That was at 11 o'clock in the morning. Essentially, I just needed someone to coast him into his nap. And then after he woke up from his nap, it was pretty much I had to, like, wait out the airport and go get you.
Right.
But, yeah, so once I was, like, in the rhythm of the Henry, then I was happy for you.
Got it.
Took a little while, but I got there. What did we do? I mean, like, the early morning stuff with him is, like, I like it because, like, the world's not awake yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like 8 a.m. and we're at Target.
Oh.
You know, like that kind of stuff.
You went to Target at 8 a.m. with him.
Well, I needed to get a shade.
Oh, for your car.
For his little face.
Yeah.
His little face was like, I was like looking at him. He's like, you're not. And like the other day I got him out of the car after we got Bo, and his little nose had little beads of sweat on it. And I was like, this is not, we can't do this.
Buddy.
So, yeah, I had to get a shade and I was like, Target opens at 8. I bet they have little window shade things that he will break eventually.
Yeah, that's where I got the window shade thing that he broke eventually.
Yeah. I have a couple extras in the car, but don't tell anyone.
Okay.
But yeah, like that stuff, and then it's coffee time, you know, and then it's and then usually it's like time to change him and then we're gonna like do some outside stuff and then, you know, the rhythms of like the morning, I can handle that.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, I guess, honestly, it's like I find Henry's the 3 o'clock to 4:50 period.
Yeah.
That 2 hour period.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Cause like by then, like the earth is baked.
Right.
And like it's too hot. And you're tired by then.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had an okay time. It was nice that we FaceTimed you. We got to FaceTime you.
That was fun.
And I think he got it. But then I would ask him again and he'd be like, no. Like, do you want to FaceTime with Mama? Do you want to see Mama on the phone? No.
Aw.
Do you want to see Henry on the phone? Henry, and then he would want to see pictures of his phone. I'd be like, that's not what we're doing. It's either we talk to Mom or we don't look at
right,
Mom.
Right, right.
Anyway.
And Bo missed me.
Bo missed you very much. Bo spent a lot of time waiting out by the driveway.
Oh, buddy.
Like, I don't get it. Where's the other one?
She's always here.
Yeah. She hasn't left in a year and a half. Where is she? What did you do with her, old man?
He was so excited to see me when I got home.
I mean, that was the most excited I've seen him in a while.
Yeah.
It was genuinely like, I really, that, so, like, he was being weird and antsy, and then I didn't put it together, I think, until today. I was like, oh, he's probably just waiting for Dory. It was just because he kept going out to the driveway and plopping his head, like, right in front of the gate.
Oh, boo-boo.
And, like, he spent a lot of time outside this weekend.
That's good.
He really wanted to be out, which I think was just out to wait for you.
Oh, bubba.
But yeah, so that said, yes, I was very happy for you to be able to not have to like deal with Henry, but not happy for you to fly into a hurricane and not land.
Yeah.
In New York for...
That was bananas.
Many hours. Dory's travel luck continues.
But... This time was very grateful to not have Henry with me.
And that is precisely why I offered to stay at home with him while you went. And I feel great that worked out.
Yeah, it did.
Whoa. Bug.
Yeah, it worked out really well. And I was able to stay in a friend's apartment that was like very centrally located in Manhattan, which was really nice. And I went to a family wedding. I saw my parents, saw some cousins I hadn't seen in like
forever,
a really long time. You know, uncle, former aunt.
I mean, that's just, that's your typical wedding right there. Uncles and former aunts. Aunts and former uncles.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, I was sorry I couldn't get there.
Yeah. Everyone asked how you were doing.
Actually, I wasn't sorry I couldn't get there. I was sorry I wasn't there.
Yeah, people...
The getting there part, I was not sorry about missing.
People missed you.
I would miss me. I mean, I'm a hoot, you know? I'm just a great guy. A lot of good fun to be had here.
Mm-hmm. You're very fun.
Dida.
Really fun.
I mean, look, I think he and I reconnected, Henry and I.
Uh-huh.
In a way that, like, he remembered. Oh, yeah, you're the fun one.
Mm, classic.
You know, that's how dads are.
Classic dad role.
Dads are fun.
Sorry, I'm trying to figure out why my phone's camera is on and I have no apps open.
Your telephone has a camera on?
No, my computer. Sorry, did I say phone?
You did.
I meant to say computer.
All right, guys. Dory's computer seems to be okay.
Thank God, everyone.
Yeah. I was like, camera just popped on, huh? She's like, no, I opened FaceTime. I was like, oh, okay. Well, when did you open FaceTime? Earlier. I was like, during the podcast? You're trying to make a phone call? She's like, no, before. I was like, when you're on the plane? She's like, no, before that. So, like 12 hours ago? Yeah. Anyway, Dory has a hard time with the restart button on her computer. She tends to keep that thing running and everything cached for like decades.
Hey.
And then, you know, starts to get some funk happening. And then what are you going to do? You got to reboot.
Yeah, you got to reboot.
It's the old IT crowd. Have you tried turning it on and off again?
You know, it's funny. I feel like I've somehow people occasionally ask me for IT advice, if you can imagine that.
I cannot.
And yeah, a little bit. I always say, try turning it off and turning it back on. And like 95% of the time that works.
Yeah, it's... Because people never turn anything off anymore.
Mm.
Well, let's say your phone was off.
Oh, I don't know. When was the last time your phone was off?
I rebooted it about a week ago, I think.
Oh, well, look at you.
La-di-da. That's me. La-di-da. La-di-da, Myra. Okay, so any pressing questions over the weekend for you, for me? Anything? No.
In what sense?
Like, I just asked you about your, you know what I mean?
Oh, well, I asked...
We're just podcasting here.
Is that what we're doing?
I thought so.
This isn't just,
I mean, in fairness, we did just turn off the microphones and then talk about Shang-Chi's opening weekend. For some reason. And then, like, Dory was, like, going to a new source, and I was like, what are we doing? Nonetheless, I'm happy that it is doing well and is in the theater, and hopefully this is a... You know, it was a big moth up there.
Oh, yeah, there is
anyway,
a big moth. I mean, so would you say that this weekend gave you, like, more confidence in solo dadding?
Sure. I mean, no. I don't know. It was nothing I don't do. Believe it or not, everyone out there, occasionally on weekends, I will say to Dory, I'll just take him and I'll like leave the house with him for a few hours and to give her a little, you know, R&R. So it was like nothing I don't already do with him.
I know, but
I never got him out to like a store or anything.
But you were very apprehensive.
Because it was so, you know, bath time has evolved.
Yeah, it's now disco bath time.
Since I used to do it.
Oh, in what sense? Like
you know, like he's physically able to move.
That's the last time you gave him a bath?
Like we used to do bath together.
Right.
And then at some point it became I watch Bo. I deal with Bo while you do the bath.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has turned into, you know, like it takes so long now to get him dressed. I don't know what the hell's happening.
Right.
Because I'm not in there.
Right.
So I'm like, well, what the hell is this bath time going to be like?
Yeah. How did it go?
Fine. It was fine. Particularly because of the light up golf balls that we, and then turning off the light. So we do bath now in the dark with light up golf balls.
He's very into it.
As our only source of light. So they're white balls that light up different colors. There's an LED in them. They're for essentially like early morning golf or nighttime golf. And you usually bounce them off the concrete or the cart path. Or if you hit, when you hit the ball, they'll light up with a golf club. So they're white and you don't know what color they're going to be until you hit it. And they don't change colors. Like the red ball that lights up red will be white until you light it up red. And then it will always be the red one. But Henry, I mean, conceptually, I'm not fully sure that he gets that part of the concept because they all look like the same ball that just turn on different colors. Mm-hmm. So he likes to, I mean, it's for, honestly the first hint that he might have gotten my gambling gene. Because he likes to pick it up and go, how about Gween? How about Gween? Boom. Gween!
Oh, boy.
And he goes, how about Gween? Boom. Oh, pink. So it's like that part of it is very funny to me. He's really like, I'm like, what do you think it's going to be, bud? He goes, wed. And then you hit it. If it's red, he's like super excited. If it's not, he's not happy. That is gambling.
Wow, you are projecting something onto him.
I love it. Oh, but anyway, yeah, so now those balls are now part of bath time.
Yeah. I mean, they'd been part of bath time before you left. We'd already started using them.
Yes, I got them for him.
Yeah.
Because he was so fascinated by the one or two that I had.
But we had not been doing disco bath time.
Yes, disco bath time, lights off. Dory, you really seem to be bothered by the ball.
No, you keep looking at it.
Well, it's like a solar eclipse every time it flies past the light. That's how big it is.
So then when I look at it, then suddenly I'm so interested when you can't stop staring at it.
Looking at the moth, Dory.
See how he gaslights me?
All right. Anyway, yes. So that's that, I guess, right? Is that a cohesive anything to anybody out there? I'm sorry.
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, look, it's still like pandemic-y. So like I had to get a COVID test this weekend, which was like a whole ordeal because he starts preschool. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I got one, he got one, but like we went to three different places. CVS doesn't, you know, you have to be 3 or older. So that's out.
Yeah.
Dory's like, what about this place? They have appointments at Universal. I was like, that's close. Let's go. Go to Universal. I can't find it. It tries to like direct me into the lot. I'm like, I'm not going into the lot today. And then it's like, well, go this way then. And I'm like, theme park parking. Like, I'm not going to the theme park. And I'm like, I have a 2-year-old.
That cannot be right.
I don't understand.
To be some other place that you go.
Well, then the Echo Park one was very hard to find because it was like at a flea market.
Whoa.
So it was like, I'm like, do these things not exist unless they're part of another thing you might have to pay entry to?
Yeah, that's weird.
It was
weird.
So weird. Anyway, we finally got them in Echo Park. Well, he thought it was very funny, sticking a thing up his nose.
So funny.
He really thought it was funny. He also is into Band-Aids now. So I feel like I've really done a lot for him in the last few days. How about Wed?
How about Wed?
All right. That said, you can email us, dorymatt@gmail.com, mattanddory@gmail.com. You can call us, 413-461-BABY. Leave a voicemail. Check out our Facebook group. It's a wonderful resource for everyone who might be going through this bullshit and or has been through it. This is IVF we're talking about, believe it or not. So we'll be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas, the better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same today, for tennis. Same for tennis, oh, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish green color. Look,
nice.
I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns going
off.
Supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. Okay, we're back, and we're ready to hear from some of you.
Hello.
Some of you listeners who may or may not be here listening.
All right. This first email is from Helena, or Helena. I don't know. Could be either one. Dory, how are you doing emotionally after your failed transfer? Do you and Matt discuss it, and what helps you guys get through it? I'm sending you a big hug and much love. Helena. I'm fine.
There's part of me that thinks like it's like just a little too hectic to think about it currently.
Yeah.
Or is it? I mean, for you maybe, but I mean, I have nothing to do. What the hell am I doing?
Yeah, I was like bummed about it, but also I think I wasn't really expecting it to work. And so, and like, yeah, I guess that's probably just like a defense mechanism, but
so it sufficiently lowered your expectations.
My expectations were extremely low. And you know, I think also like having a 2-year-old, it just, my, like Matt said, kind of like my attention is elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, that said, it's like, it's still a bummer.
Partially, it's like I'm like sort of taking it all in right now as far as Henry is concerned, you know, because he's starting preschool. So like I'm feeling like, oh, he's getting older and, you know, that there's that part. I'm like, oh, everyone says it moves so fast. So let me try to absorb it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm absorbing him.
Mm-hmm. It's like babyhood is over.
So full. I mean, like, he says four things, like, until he's at, like... Although I did say to Holly that is the first time I ever asked him a question and he fully answered it was yesterday.
What did you ask him?
I asked him, how was the park? And he goes, see light, not on. And I was like, wow.
Okay.
That is the answer to my question.
Yeah.
That is, and it was almost a sentence.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
He went to go see the light that wasn't on. My son loves watching, like, if there's a bulb out, he'll tell you.
Yeah. And he's very, he's been to the park, like, in the late afternoon, not dusk exactly, but, like, when it's just getting, the sun is just low enough that the lights go on.
Yeah.
And so, whenever he's at the park, he's, like, hopeful that the lights will...
Yeah, he sits there and watches the lights.
Yeah.
Like, the street lights, or the park lights.
Yeah.
Which is also part... That's actually kind of what I think is interesting about those golf balls that turn off after 8 minutes. Like, he gets really excited when he sees them turn off.
Yeah, he also was asking me to turn them off, and I was like, I can't turn them off. We have to wait.
He knows this.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know.
Maybe he's like, I'll ask Mama.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe she knows how to do it.
Right. So anyway, Helena, to answer your question, I don't know, but I do still think about, like, another kid, but that it feels like that ship is sort of sailing. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe I just need to, like, get it back into port.
Sailing. So it can't come into port. Not everyone's vaccinated on the boat. On the boat.
Oh, man. Really?
Yeah. Yep. So.
You know, back in the olden days, if someone on your ship was found to have smallpox, I think you had to destroy all the cargo on the ship.
Okay. Or so. Gift the blankets to the native people.
Yes, exactly. All right. So last week we heard from someone who had one embryo left, mm-hmm. and she was considering thawing it so that she could so that she could test it because she hadn't tested it
right.
previously. So we got some listeners writing in about that. This one is from Jenny. To the person writing in about her one embryo that she is considering thawing to PGT. Personally, I wouldn't put that much stress on your last embryo. My husband and I decided to test 8 of our frozen untested embryos and 3 didn't survive the thaw. I don't think it's worth risking it for just one. If you had many embryos, my advice would probably be different, but with just one, I don't think it's worth it. The reason we thawed to test is because we will need a surrogate for our next science baby. We wanted to figure out which of the 16 untested embryos we had left that would give us the best chance in this type of high money stakes situation. Otherwise, I wouldn't have stressed my embryos, especially if I only had a few. I was conflicted about the whole situation, which is why we decided to test half of them. Plus, we saved $5,000 only testing 8. Many surrogates will only transfer PGT normal embryos because they don't want to put their bodies through unnecessary miscarriage, trauma, etc. So we wanted to up our chances of matching with a willing surrogate by having normal embryos ready to go. This was a big motivation for us to thaw and refreeze because the matching process can take some time. Fortunately, we did end up matching pretty quickly. Out of the 8 we tested, 3 didn't survive, 2 were abnormal, and 3 were normal. We still have 8 untested that we will decide what to do in the future. But for now, we are focusing on the 3 we know for sure are normal. I think in certain scenarios, it's more useful than others, but not when you have just one. Just my 2 cents. Jenny, living in Long Beach, California, with my husband, science toddler, and rescue toy poodle in 700 square feet. Yes, it's a little tight around here, but we're penny pinching for our surrogate baby, and we live close to the beach, which is a pretty sweet trade-off.
I mean, look, when the beach is your front door, out your front door. What? I don't know. You know about ships that are sitting off port.
Yeah, this is some good data, you know, out of 8 embryos, 3 didn't survive. That's almost half.
That is. Yeah. I mean, look, it's also quite a perspective.
Yeah.
So
thank you, Jenny. All right. We also got a voicemail.
I heard you
this.
Cough.
Yeah.
So I just want to ask, have you been tested?
I'm getting tested tomorrow.
Okay.
But it's also, it's very dry in here and I don't have my water. So, okay.
How about Wed?
Here's a voicemail.
Hi, Matt and Zori. This is Jess, and I was calling in response to the caller who was asking about whether she should PBS test her final embryo. And I would say I definitely agree with Dory. With only one embryo left, I would say just, like, go ahead and transfer it. You know, if there was more than one, you know, you might want to do the testing just to kind of see, like, which one's better or more likely. You know, because one thing I think it's kind of morbid to remind people that just because an embryo tests PGS normal doesn't mean it's going to take. You know, we had four PGS normal embryos. Only one of them ever took. We lost the other three. You know, and I would say with one, like, if you're going to do another retrieval afterwards, you know, if it doesn't take, you know, I'm kind of more of the line of getting those things done, you know, as quickly as possible, you know, moving on the timeline if you need to do that. So that's my thoughts.
Good thoughts.
I mean, it's a consensus here.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
Seems to be just transfer it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Is there any more data?
That's all we
okay.
We got.
All right. That's our consensus.
That's our consensus.
That's our recommendation. Thank you. We are an official medical advice podcast. JK, we're not doctors. Consult a physician. Thank you.
Last week, we also heard from someone who wanted to know, she was the HR person who wanted to know about offering infertility benefits.
Yes, I remember.
So
I think
we got a lot of feedback about this, and we're gonna read a couple emails.
And I was saying 5 was okay. You were like, it needs to be 10.
Yeah,
I remember. Was saying that. I remember that.
Yeah. All right. This first email is from Aaron. Hi, Dorian, Matt. I was writing in response to your call from the person in HR, wanting to know what infertility benefits would be of interest to people. I knew I'd written in before about insurance benefits, so I searched my email and found the email below. She found an email from 2019.
I mean, look, it's not the ancient past, but I'll take it.
Okay. The caller mentioned that she hadn't found any insurance companies that provided unlimited benefits. Ours does, Aetna, but I believe it all depends on the size of your employer. Large employers have access to more comprehensive coverage. My husband's company provides unlimited fertility coverage with no max.
Whoa.
Sign me up. They also offer $20,000 lifetime to cover any family building expense that isn't covered by insurance, like adoption, surrogacy, donor eggs, sperm, etc. So there are companies that are hitting it out of the park with the family building benefits they offer. But my husband's company is a very large corporation. I think it would be difficult for a smaller company to compete. It's awesome that the caller is reaching out to see what would be useful for their employees. We are extremely thankful to have had the insurance coverage we did, so we didn't have to deal with the huge financial burden on top of the incredibly stressful situation that landed us there in the first place. I also found an email I'd sent you a few years ago expressing my shared hatred for miracle baby stories. Ha! Fast forward a few years, and I now find myself with a 9-week-old miracle baby of my own. After 8 years of infertility and 2 IVF babies, we were completely shocked to find ourselves expecting a third with no medical intervention. Major plot twist. Love the podcast. Thanks for sharing your story, Aaron.
Look, you hate those stories, and yet you still had to tell us one. Congratulations. I'm just kidding.
All right. Here is another. Well, actually, before I play this voicemail, I guess I just want to point out, like, yeah, sometimes working for those huge corporations have a lot of benefits, you know?
That was quite a pun.
Yeah. Sure.
We have a lot of, they have a lot
I got
of
it.
See, and then.
Yeah. Wasn't really a pun.
What we're talking about. Yes, I mean, it was. It was okay. Wordplay.
Wordplay. Okay. All right, here we go. Here's a voicemail.
It was, I would say, pun intended.
Okay.
Hi, this is Karen. I'm calling from North Carolina. Not the most progressive of states, but I worked for a large healthcare system that had both infertility and adoption benefits. The company offered $10,000 each for IVF and $10,000 for adoption. And I really took them to the bank because I used Beth. For IVF, the $10,000 was awesome. We did two retrievals
both.
And four or five transfers, don't even remember. And I think we only ended up paying ourselves for the last transfer.
Wow.
And we, this was 8 years ago, so things might have changed. And also, we did have to pay for the meds still. So we still paid a good bit of money ourselves, but the $10,000 was an amazing benefit. So I'm with you, Jory, on $10,000 is a great amount. For adoption, it's a little different because you get an adoption tax credit from the government. And since we got the $10,000 from the employer benefits, they take that out of what the government gives you. So we only got $2,000, I don't remember, for the adoption from the federal government. So it all kind of evened out in the end as far as the adoption benefits. But for the IVF, the $10,000 was amazing. Thanks. I'm Karen. I'm in 2,500 square feet in North Carolina with two kids, a husband, and a kitty cat. And I've probably had two or three hot dogs this year, but turkey hot dogs, so I know they don't count.
They
Thanks,
do not.
Bye.
Correct. Thank you for understanding that your hot dogs did not count.
See, someone okay. agreed with me.
I appreciate it. Some people agree with you sometimes.
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes I mean,
look,
they do.
Here's all I'm saying, everybody. For years, I have used Apple Maps to navigate around the city. And it has driven Dori Shafrir crazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why don't you use Waze?
Mm-hmm.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Today, picked her up from the airport, driving home. She's like, why did you use Waze? There are people in this Facebook group I'm in that are really into Apple Maps right now. And I'm like, what? How dare you come at me? Like, I wasn't doing that and you got mad. Anyway, whatever. Here we are. Okay. Next email.
All right, we're going to actually go straight to another voicemail.
Okay.
On the same topic.
Makes sense.
Hi, Matt and Dori. This is Michelle, longtime listener, and I just paused the pod to call in to respond to the caller who works in HR asking about fertility and family building benefits for their company. I work at a very generous financial company that added fertility benefits just in the past 2 years, and I actually sort of helped advise our HR benefits person about the realistic costs of fertility. And they work with a company called Progeny, P-R-O-G-E-N-Y, I believe. I could be spelling it incorrectly. But they are sort of like an added insurance benefit onto our insurance plan. So somehow they work with your health insurance, but you go through Progeny for the fertility-specific benefits. And they're pretty unique in that they offer things like a smart cycle that might include an egg retrieval and transfer. And obviously the level of benefit that is offered to employees depends on that employer. But another thing our company did was, I'm not sure if it's through Progeny or not, but they offer $8,000 toward surrogacy, if that's the route you go through. So, for example, for LGBTQ couples wanting to build their family, they themselves may not be going to the fertility treatment, but might be using donors and a surrogate. And so I thought that was a nice added bonus. I will say that when the benefits person talked to me about this program, I told her that I thought $8,000 wasn't nearly enough to cover, you know, basically building your family and fertility benefits. But it is a really good start. And her feeling was that as time went on, the company might be open to more, but they didn't really have a good sense of how many people would take advantage of it. So I guess to that benefits person, you know, I think she can start with what she thinks is most likely to be successful and approved of the company, and then potentially build that benefit over time. I think $2,000 is not a lot, but any amount helps. So it might be worthwhile for her to look into Progyny, or, you know, maybe there's others that offer services like that too. Anyway, I hope that's helpful. Again, it's Michelle. I live in Southern California, in 2,400 square feet, two science babies, including one who came to us via surrogacy, and a dog, and I would say one hot dog in 2021. Hope you guys are doing great.
Very specific.
One hot dog?
You can't have, like, I had maybe one. Like, you know, that seems like, I guess I had one hot dog. That seems like you're admitting it.
I mean,
to yourself, that you've shaved 38 minutes off your life.
I feel like we got some good information about insurance coverage and stuff.
You know, I like it. It's a potpourri sort of thing. Yep. Kind of like, what do you think about this thing?
Yep.
That could apply to anything we say. But
yep.
This was more of a survey. This was more of a formal survey, I think, than our normal stuff. Okay. Than our normal questions.
It's kind of accurate.
Yep. I mean, look, I guess we all have opinions and we can write them down in surveys.
Yeah. Okay, we are going to take another break.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, we're back.
Hello.
Dory just explained something to me for, I'm going to guess, the 50th time. I always ask that question. I mean, I haven't asked it in a while, but...
All right. Did you get some clarity?
I got some clarity. It was a podcast question, guys. It was a technical podcast question.
Just podcasters doing podcast
stuff. You know, Dory's a podcast aficionado. And I am like wise and old and forgetful about podcasts. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, continue.
All right.
Next podcast.
This is from Anonymous. Hi, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. I got some unexpected news at my recent embryo transfer and can't find any information about it online. I'm hoping you or your listeners might have some insight. I was lucky to have 4 embryos make it to blastocyst after my egg retrieval, and 2 were genetically normal. I assumed the other 2 were not genetically normal. Just before my embryo transfer last week, my doctor was doing a kind of inventory of the embryos to discuss which one would be transferred, which would continue to be frozen, and which would be destroyed. He confirmed that there are 2 genetically normal embryos, 1 that was not, and a 4th one where no DNA was detected. He asked if I wanted to retest the one with no DNA, and I said, of course I did. Why wouldn't I? Seeing as I was undressed from the waist down with a crinkly paper sheet covering me and wanted to get the embryo transfer done so I could empty my very full bladder, I didn't ask any follow-up questions. But now it's gnawing at me, and I can't find any information about this situation from a Google search. I assume there's some sort of problem with that embryo, but I'm not sure. I have to assume that one of your listeners has encountered this situation and might be able to shed light on this. And that is from Anonymous in 1,400 square feet in Florida with me, my husband, and 3-year-old son. 2 veggie dogs this year, although I know they don't count.
How does something have no DNA?
So I have read about this situation in a couple of my Facebook groups. A couple of my abnormal embryo Facebook groups.
People might be like, I use Apple Maps now. Also, here's what happened to my embryo.
Yeah, exactly. And this is not a common occurrence, but this is like something that has happened. And what it seems to be is just like a testing fluke. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that, like, it doesn't mean that your embryo has no DNA. It means that, like,
nothing was
read, and like it there, like, I've seen people post pictures of like their children who were from embryos where no DNA was detected. kind of thing.
Well, I mean, what are we going to do about those children?
Well.
Have we tested them again?
I don't know.
What if they're robots?
So, yeah. So talk to your doctor, but I don't think that this is necessarily...
Well, like I had to do Henry's nasal swab for the COVID test, you know, as I'm obviously a licensed technician.
Yep.
I couldn't mess it up in any way, shape, or form. But nope. I did think, well, is there going to be enough on here for them to... I was expecting it to come back with like... No. Inconclusive, I thought it was going to come back. But it was negative. There you go. All Welcome right. back, everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on to...
Here we are.
Another email from Dana, who is reaching out with a Boston signal.
Oh, didn't see that coming.
She writes, "My husband and I are taking a weekend trip in early November, and I'm getting a little overwhelmed trying to figure out where to stay. I've been to Boston before, but stayed at my friend's place and don't remember a thing about locations. We almost always stay in Airbnbs, but if we have to stay in a hotel, we will, whatever makes the most sense. We are flying from Philly, had a flight credit that needed to be used, and didn't plan to rent a car."
What a flight credit. What is that, a 50-minute flight?
It's a short flight. I've taken that flight.
Of course. Well, I mean,
we are fine with Ubers and figuring out the tea. Actually, sidebar. When I was in college, I often took that flight on AirTran.
Wow.
Remember AirTran?
Was that at the TWA terminal?
It's at the Pan Am terminal.
There you go.
It's at the Eastern Airlines terminal. The
official airline of Walt Disney World.
Eastern Airlines?
Yeah.
Oh. I definitely flew Eastern Airlines as a child. I feel like I flew TWA a lot, actually.
Wasn't there TWA, the most comfortable way to fly, if I remember correctly?
Don't remember. I remember Delta, we love to fly, and it shows.
Cool.
The
only must do is a day trip to Salem, which we would do on a full day.
No, on our only full day.
Which is the Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're taking a full day trip to Salem, but you're not renting a car.
Yeah, I find this confusing.
You're going to Uber
to Salem
from Boston?
I don't think this is a great idea.
I mean, look, it's not the worst idea. I will say this, because it's not like, I mean, Salem to Boston, I'm going to guess, is 35 minutes, right?
I don't know. How far is Salem to Boston? I'm going to check.
I think it's 35.
But how many miles is it, is my question.
It's probably 20.
Okay, I'm just going to say from the Back Bay to Salem.
Yeah.
It's 22.3 miles.
Yeah.
33 minutes.
Yeah.
You were not far off.
I know the area. Anyway, that said, look. I think going to Salem in the fall is a great thing. Salem Witch Museum, it's a hoot. There's a wax museum there that you could skip, but it's kind of fun in a kitschy way. Oh my god! I was watching you know how I watch those YouTube travel things where like it's usually like somebody is at a theme park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like Dollywood or something.
Mm-hmm.
He made it all the way up north. He was at Canopy Lake Park.
No way.
And I watched the Carpetbagger at Canopy Lake Park.
Oh, that's cool.
And I was like, oh, that's my home park. Anyway.
My parents took my niece and nephew there recently.
Oh, I love it.
They had a blast.
Okay, anyway, so I feel like I'm not answering any of your questions.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You're figuring out the tea. We're fine with Ubers and figuring out the tea. I don't think, well, I guess you could go to North Station. And take this.
Okay, here's what you do.
The Silver Line?
According to Google Maps.
Yeah.
If you took public transportation. Oh, wait, no, I don't want to leave now. It was like, this will take 5 hours. let's leave.
Yeah, but it is Sunday.
Oh, right. They are going to go on a Sunday. So let's say next Sunday at 8 a.m.
Okay.
They're going to leave. It would take 56 minutes.
No, don't do that.
It would take, you have to take the T to the Newburyport Rockport line on the commuter rail. And then there is a stop in Salem. There's a Salem stop.
No, yeah, of course, but like
it's only half an hour from North Station.
Well, that's what I said. Go to North Station.
I know, but I'm saying if they were in the Back Bay, like to get to North Station, it's actually it's very easy. It takes a good 20-25 minutes. Yes.
You can walk there. To North Station?
I would not walk.
It's like
to
walking
North Station.
You walk through Quincy Market.
From the Back Bay?
From the Back Bay.
I think that's far.
I don't think that's far.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I travel on foot quite a bit, you know, when I'm out and about on foot. Anyway, this is ridiculous the way we're answering this question. Okay. There are Airbnb options in Boston. It depends on the weekend you're going. I will say that they tend to be not to my satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of like we look, but we never find anything where we're like, let's stay there.
Well, we also are always looking for like somewhere that would be appropriate for Henry.
That's true.
Which that like is, true. Is kind of a different story.
The last time we were there, we stayed on Newbury Street. It was the sort of Dory's parents were taking Henry. We were like, let's treat ourselves to 2 days in a hotel and sleep. So we stayed at the Newbury.
It was really fancy and nice.
Very fancy, very nice hotel. But it was also the middle of July and the rates were pretty good. November? I don't know. I feel like November's okay.
It was also, yeah.
I feel like November's okay because it's not everyone moving into school. It's not graduation. Like, there's like that little, there's a window between January and September where, like, you can get a hotel room in Boston.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that said, but Newbury Street, Boston Common, that area, that's probably where you're going to want to stay. We've only got a day and a half.
Yeah.
Because all the historical bullshit, I mean, you're from Philly, so you've got plenty of that, but. Look, if you want to see Cheers, if you want to go through the Common, if you want to make way for Ducklings,
yeah,
you do all that there.
Yeah, I would. That's where I would probably stay.
And you can take a duck tour and see everything you need to see. And then as far as getting into, I'm going to say yes, Uber, and it's going to cost a decent amount because it is a half hour away,
right?
And also, like, I'm trying to think in my head, like, where in Salem would you centrally drop yourself? I guess you would drop yourself, like, at the Witch Museum or at Laurie Cabot's shop.
I'm going to make a suggestion.
Yeah.
My suggestion would be to just rent a car for the day.
But then you have to worry about getting it to the rental place, then back. You know what I mean?
You can rent a car from Back Bay Station. In Back Bay, you get the car, you drive up to Salem, then you can kind of toodaloot around up the North Shore.
Toodaloot, everybody.
That's what we say that on Forever 35.
Toodaloot around up there.
And you can like see a bunch of other quaint little towns. It'll be really
Stop
fun.
Stop in Marblehead. It's beautiful.
Rockport.
Rob Delaney's
Newburyport,
from Marblehead.
Like these towns are all really cute.
They are adorable, but it's Sunday.
So?
Blue Laws. Everyone's watching the Pats. Nothing's open.
Don't listen to him. I think it would be nice to rent a car for the day, personally. And then you come back and you return it and you walk back to your hotel.
Yeah, okay. But look, if I had my druthers, there's a couple things I'd like to say. Not renting a car in Boston is smart because the parking is a pain in the ass.
Right, but in my plan, they wouldn't have to park.
I get it. Ultimately.
Do you get it?
Ultimately. What you need is to invite us. And we'll rent the car for you. Thank you. Now, which neighborhood should you look for? I would say look for Back Bay.
Yes.
And Boston Common area. So yes. That would be in reference to hotel and Airbnb. And if you're looking for something, you know, you could stay a little further out, like Kenmore-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And still be centrally located-ish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like over by Fenway, but those are our two options.
Mm-hmm.
Here, there's like a bunch of there's a place called the Heinz Convention Center at the Prudential Building, and there's a lot of hotels around that.
That's true.
So, and that's Newberry Street, Mass Ave, kind of. Anyway, that if you're still listening, thank you.
Oh boy!
I apologize, everyone.
Okay, Christina wrote in with a water bottle recommendation.
Let me hear it.
From Takea. They make a 17-ounce and 25-ounce traveler water bottle that has a lockable flip-top lid for easy access. You don't have to lock the lid for it to stay securely closed in case you knock it over. Additionally, there's a built-in coaster on the bottom, and the lid pieces come apart easily for thorough cleaning. They make all sorts of other water bottles, but the traveler makes it so easy to drink water, even while wearing a medical or N95 face mask all day at work while running around with a toddler.
Hmm.
So, and Christina's in 750 square feet in San Diego with two adults and maybe four hot dogs that meet Matt's criteria.
Christina, I thought that it said 7,500 square feet and I was like, whoa. But now that it says 700, I'm like, that is adorable.
Thank you for that recommendation. I'm going to look that up.
Were you in the market for a water bottle? I was.
You definitely were.
I mean, I just, you know.
I'm not in the market. You know what I'm saying?
My problem is like when I run out,
you know what it is? I could use a water bottle that is in between my big, heavy, bulky Hydro Flask and my slightly too small Swell bottle.
So it sounds like you want my water bottle.
I don't know. What
my
is
black
your
one, 32 ounce.
Well, 30, the Hydro...
36 ounce.
How much is it?
36 ounce, I believe.
I think my Hydro Flask is 32 ounce and I find it to be a little bulky.
Oh, well, there you go.
I think I want like a 20 ouncer.
A venti.
Yeah, I want a venti. All right. We heard, as predicted, we heard from a few people about my vehement opposition to food at Disney.
Yeah, look, I jumped on that grenade with you.
You did. Do you want to read this email from Jill?
Where is it?
Uh-huh. Yeah. There it is.
I had to pause when listening to the list of foods at Disney. I agree. Most of the foods are not worth it. And they're mostly convenient when you're in the park and busy trying to finish a list of rides. However, my family and I love the corn dogs in the red cart. We arrive at Disney, stand in line for corn dogs, then head straight to stand in line for pirates. While in line for pirates, we enjoy the State Fair-like goodness of a dog wrapped in fried cornmeal dough with mustard and ketchup. Yum. By the time we get to the front of the line, our dogs are done, and we're ready to board. We haven't gone to Disney during the pandemic, but we probably won't until things get better, which makes me miss corn dogs even more. I know corn dogs don't count in the hot dog count. Love the pod. Hearing about Henry's word explosion and the funny things he does, as well as how much you both enjoy him. We do. That's Jill, 1,100 square feet, Santa Barbara, two cats, four guinea pigs. The guinea pigs are outside. Lots of dogs, some Trader Joe's corn dogs, and some brats. I know they also don't count. Thank you. P.S. And my 18-year-old daughter still lives at home, still heads off for college in mid-September, and my 20-year-old daughter was home doing virtual college for most of the pandemic, but is now back in school. Looking forward to when they graduate and really move out, so I can have my small house to just me and my hubby and the animals. P.S.S. Just got Dory's book. Have it set aside. After I drop my youngest off at college, as I know, I will need a happy distraction after she's gone. That is from Jill. Jill, I like it. I like that you have a routine. I like that your Disney routine consists of get food, wait in line, eat food, ride a ride. There's nothing better. Look, the sensory explosion of a corn dog and the Pirates of the Caribbean. You can't go wrong with that. Thank you.
All right.
Now, this is for Megan. I almost drove off the road when I heard Dory say on this week's podcast that Dole Whip is just okay. My mother also texted about Dole Whip. She was like, I like Dole Whip. You tell that wife of yours to back off. That last part I added.
Wow.
But she texted me to tell me that she does like Dole Whip, and we're kind of cuckoo for not liking Dole Whip.
I mean, look.
We like Dole Whip, fine.
Dole Whip is fine. I just feel like the way people talk about
it. I'm not driving 45 minutes to get Dole Whip.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, here we go. But to a certain degree, I do agree with part of what makes food good at Disney is the experience tied to it. I remember my first Dole Whip And then later, taking my mom to try it, which she exclaimed, I've been to Disney since I was a kid, and I've never I can't believe I've never had this. With that said, the top four items to get at Disney and California Adventure, Disneyland and California Adventure, are Dole Whip, corn dog, beignets, soup in a bread bowl from the Pacific Wharf. Those are actually, I've had all of those things. And those are probably all the top items as far as repeatable edibleness. I don't think you can go any further than those four items.
What about the pretzel?
Sometimes I find the pretzel to be lacking.
Wow.
In all honesty.
Wow.
And then she continues. I'm part of your single childless contingent of listeners, but I've been listening since the beginning. Gilmore Guys crossover fan. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Despite not having kids and going through IVF, I continually find myself learning from the show. I've especially found the conversations surrounding grief and loss particularly helpful. How to be better supportive for friends going through those circumstances. I don't really have a question, but I would like to hear more about Matt's history in Hollywood, especially the transition to directing. I feel like I've heard bits and pieces between Dory's book and podcast. I've heard Matt on. Look, Dory's book consumed us for a little while, and as it should have. You know, I will say this also, Matt. That's Megan's email. Hope you had a great weekend. And then she continues, just under 1,500 square feet. Raleigh, North Carolina Metro. Mini Golden Doodle named Zero. Oh, sorry, Milo. Not Zero. Zero is wow. The name of Jack Skellington's dog in The Nightmare Before Christmas, which the overlay just went on. That's why I guess Zero's in my head. Milo. Zero hot dogs in 2021. Hot dog is only acceptable when cased in cornmeal batter and fried. Wow, doesn't make the list then. Thank you, Megan. Yes, I was going to say that after dealing with Henry for 4 days alone and not even fully totally alone, having help of the Holly variety for a few hours a day, I still don't understand how you finished your book and did podcasts.
Oh, when you were sick.
Yeah.
And I was taking care of Henry all by myself.
Yeah, I do. I have no fucking clue.
I was in a fugue state.
I was
honestly.
Like, I mean, Andy and I were supposed to record on Saturday at 2:30, and that was after the echo, the 400 places to get a COVID test thing.
Yeah,
and I was just like, I can't talk right now.
Yeah,
I'm like done.
Yeah,
I don't know how you did it. I really don't.
Do you respect me more now?
No, I've always respected you the most. How can I respect you more than I do?
But now you get how, like, now you, like, I feel like now you, like, truly get how just bananas that was.
I mean, look, you're talking, look, if you're talking about, like, some working straight through something, I
not,
get it.
But that's, but taking care of a child on top of that is, like, a whole other thing.
Yes, but like functioning on very little sleep and working, that is no problem.
Sure.
But you doing it, someone who needs 40 hours of sleep a day.
And finishing a book.
I still cannot.
And don't forget, I also wrote an article. I had that Mandy Moore piece.
Mandy gets it.
She's a working mom.
She gets it.
Anyway.
Yes.
Thank you, Megan, for that. And then finally, we have... Oh, sorry. And one other thing. We talk a lot more about Matt's work on the Patreon episodes also.
We do?
Yeah.
I guess we do.
We do.
Oh, we want to hear more about my Hollywood stuff.
I feel like we got
pretty deep in the weeds in there.
Yeah. We do a lot of like inside baseball, I feel like. Talk there.
Yeah. I mean, stay tuned. All I would say to everybody is like, buckle up for like November, December when I'm like actually directing something and I'm like, we'll find out how that goes.
It's going to go great. Okay. Our last email is from Julia, and this is a little bit of an inside baseball how the sausage gets made email. Good morning, Dory and Matt. I think the commercials went to regional somewhat because during episode 343, I've gotten the same commercial in Spanish twice about buying school supplies and that I can use American Express to do so. I'm guessing it's because I live in Austin, Texas, unless you have a new sponsor. Living in 840 square feet with one cat, one husband, total hot dog consumption of 12 so far this year. So, okay. On Acast, which is the network that we're on, there are two kinds of ads.
Platform.
One is host read ads. Mm-hmm. And then one is just ads, regular ads. I think they call them airtime ads.
Yeah.
Those are basically like commercials. And so most of our ads are host read ads.
Yeah.
But we have like, I think we have like one or two slots. Like if we don't sell all of our host read spots, they fill it with airtime ads. And I think most of the airtime ads are geo-blocked.
Geo-blocked?
Geo-tagged.
Tagged. So wherever you're listening from, you will get an appropriate.
Yes. So like Canadian listeners will get a Canada thing.
It's interesting because I've been noticing this same phenomenon. Not about school supplies, but like I get Spanish car commercials when watching Red Sox games.
Oh, interesting.
Which I'm just like, oh, it must just know I'm in LA.
Yeah.
And there's a pretty decent chance that I know some Spanish.
Yeah.
So sell me a car.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the reason that that's the reason that you're probably getting those ads. So there you go.
Julia, thank you for asking.
Yep.
Because I thought we all needed the explanation.
And you know, just a reminder, you can support us on the old Patreon. Get up to two of those bonus episodes per month where you can ask us anything.
Yep. And usually you have the first 30 days of the month to ask us something because we'll record them the very last second we can.
I know. We're very annoying that way.
So $5 level and above, you get your name read each month as a thank you and get that back catalog. Plenty of episodes there. So thank you to Bethany Whipperman.
Nassim Kansari.
Sophia F.
Caroline Land.
Jennifer H.S.
Angie James.
Wait, what was Nassim's name? Last name from the orientation, parent orientation.
Not.
Oh, what if it was her?
That would be weird. No, Nassim Kansari is the Disney travel agent who's been helping us.
Oh, that's right. But also, what if it was the same person that was in the orientation for Henry's preschool? That'd be wild that they listen to the podcast. I'd feel so much shame.
Okay.
Carolyn Land, thank you.
Jennifer H.S.
Angie James.
Tyler Rosewood.
Ava N.
Alec Meredith Fletcher and Florence Babel.
Alessandra Ragusa.
Alex Bell.
Alex Liu.
Amanda Fujita.
Amanda Lighty.
Amy.
Andrew McClure.
Ann Flucker.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 anonymous. April Howell. Hey, hang on. Let me do this. April Holwerda. Thank you. I nailed it.
Ariana Perry.
Ashley Sicily.
Aurora and Zelda.
Becca Foster.
Bianca Loria.
Bruno Macias.
You skipped Britt S. Baker.
I sure did. I just wanted you to say it.
All right.
Carly Moore.
Carolyn N.
Catherine. Sorry. There is no Catherine. There's a Kathy Hill.
Chinami Worth.
Cynthia Meisner.
Debbie Meredith, a.k.a. Lex Conant's mom.
Diana.
Diana Robinson.
Diana Martin.
Dr. Beverly Crusher.
Edwina Goodingham.
Edwina Morgan Bodo.
How many chances we have two Edwinas that I know, are like it's fascinating. Big fans of us? Elena Palling.
Emily F.
Aaron.
Aaron Gudge.
Aaron Turley. Less impressive that there's three Aarons right there.
Yeah.
More impressive.
That there's two Edwinas.
Two Edwinas. And Nicholas.
Yeah. I think those might be like British or Australian people.
I feel like they're Czech. The name.
Czech?
I feel like Nicola is like a Czechoslovakian
name.
No,
I think it's a very common British women's name.
Oh. Interesting.
So,
TBD on that, everybody. We're going to check the books.
All right, everyone.
Well, yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye.